Good morning, Steve Dale on WGN Radio. Dr. Moises Hay-Bloom was a legend in veterinary behavioral medicine in Mexico. And I often spoke at a conference in Mexico, an amazing veterinary conference. Not only a lot of fun, not only a lot of energy, because so many young people attended this and do attend this when we get back to attending anything, I suppose. A giant, larger than any veterinary conference in America. Honored to speak there many times, and Dr. Hay-Bloom and I became friends. And we thought, okay, here's some things we want to do together. And unfortunately, tragically, he passed away. And he had begun a book. I didn't know that, but he had begun a book, which his wife, Rose Hay-Bloom, finished. The book, Taking the Lead, Learning Through Love and Friendship with Dogs. And that's what you do. You learn. I learn anyway all the time by my dogs. Through love and friendship with dogs, Dr. Moises Hay-Bloom. And we'll talk with Rose Hay-Bloom, who finished the book for him, a little later in the program. And also a story about a clinical trial in cats for COVID-19, for a vaccine. Why the heck do we want to vaccinate our cats for COVID-19? Why would there be a clinical trial for that? Clinical trials are all the buzzword now, right? Sarah Saratella is the Director of Communications for the Institute for Translational Medicine, a lecturer at the University of Chicago, and Director of Save the Humans Campaign, which we'll find out about in a moment. Sarah, what is the Institute for Translational Medicine? It sounds like it might be the Institute for people learning to speak Spanish and they translate it? I don't think that's right.
You got good gut instinct, Steve. It is not quite that. It is a collaboration amongst some of the top academic medical centers in Chicago, the University of Chicago, Rush, Loyola University at Chicago, North Shore University Health System, Illinois Institute of Technology, and Advocate Healthcare. And the goal is to help get breakthroughs made from in the lab out into the real world, helping people as soon as possible. So that translational key gets from moving it along the spectrum, translating it from the bench to the real world.
And we'll talk about how pets are woven into all this. And what appealed to me in part, there are lots of moving parts to all of this, but what appealed to me is clinical trials is something a lot of people hadn't even heard that term before the pandemic. And I've talked publicly about how I'm in a clinical trial for one of the vaccines, for the Moderna vaccine. And people don't know what clinical trials are, why they're important, but yet every vaccine we've ever taken, any drug we've ever taken that's not over-the-counter, and even those mostly that are over-the-counter, all of those have been subject to a clinical trial, at least one clinical trial, at one point in time. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. You're so right. Every bit of healthcare we receive today, whether it's at the doctor's office, whether it's going to the pharmacy and picking up something over the counter, has come from health research and is thanks to people like you, people to everybody who has signed up to participate and team up with researchers and scientists. Because all of the donations, all of the money in the world for research when people run races and do walks doesn't matter if we don't actually team up and participate in the studies that they've funded. And so this initiative is so special. It includes the Institute for Translational Medicine with all of those groups I mentioned, in addition to Northwestern University and the University of Illinois at Chicago, to help make health research accessible to everybody for the first time at a big scale in Chicagoland. Because until now, it's been hard for people to find. You ask folks if they want to help their family and their friends, you know, beat breast cancer, find new treatments for heart disease, to find a cure for COVID. People say yes, but they don't know where to go. And so we've created a really easy platform for people to access those opportunities with just a couple clicks of a button on their smartphone.
And what is that platform?
That platform, you can find at savedehumans.org. You sign up, and once you do, it matches you with opportunities for the health areas you care about. So you're in the driver's seat. kind of like a match.com, gives you information on volunteer opportunities, ranging from COVID-19 vaccine opportunities like you participated in, to things that people can do from home with their pets, literally from their couch, surveys to get more information and data about mental health. There are actually programs they're trying to see that can help boost mental health during the pandemic that people can do from home, as well as seeing how people are impacted by things. So there's a whole range. Health research can be as simple as providing information about your experiences to participating in a clinical trial and trying a vaccine. There's really something for everybody, and it helps make the world a better place, and it helps humanity live longer so that we can be around for our pets, because our pets need us, which is why they're mobilizing to save the humans.
All right, and that's Save the Humans. So it's SAVEDAHOOMANS.org. Now, you mentioned something that's really interesting to me. Lots of things that are, actually. One is that, all right, a lot of people might be interested in participating in clinical trials, but it's not only clinical trials. It's maybe filling out a survey about how you feel about, for example, being quarantined, or, for example, now you're on this medication. You know you're on the medication, but how are you feeling? So you're not being put on that medication. That already has happened. It's maybe something that's approved, but you want to know. So it's not all about vaccines and drugs.
100% correct, Steve. It's about finding information to help people live a better life. And so that can look like those surveys from home. There's actually everything from filling those out to doing some phone calls with study teams and scientists to sharing your pandemic experience about food or access to different resources so that different changes can be made at even a systemic level. Hopefully we don't have a pandemic again, but if we know how it's impacting us, we can understand the problems and work to fix them together. Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to just getting knowledge, science, understanding what it is, so we can work together to make things better.
Now, how do pets work into all this?
Yes, pets are so important. As we all know from having pets, they make us feel good. They are a joy to our life. And there's actually science that shows, people have participated in studies that have shown how pets help our health. And that ranges from decreasing our stress levels to boosting our mental health to helping us get more exercise. And this campaign deals with the pet side. So the Save the Humans is in dog speak. Doggo Wingo meets LOL Cats, the internet meme talk, because the dogs are the ones who are trying to tell us humans why they love us and why they want us to sign up. Because the only way we can work together to have longer, happier, healthier lives with our pets is if we do help find these answers, find new treatments and cures.
Now, of course, the same is true as for our drugs, drugs for pets. So there are clinical trials for any drug or vaccine, for that matter, your pet has ever had. There were clinical trials along the way. At some point in time, do you perceive posting those on the site as well?
The trials for pets,
yeah,
specifically?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really awesome idea that we should look into. I mean, if there's a platform that can match humans to opportunities, why can't there be a platform that matches our pets to opportunities for those? I love it.
I can give you some of those. No problem.
Let's talk more, Steve. I love it.
I will do that. So again, that website, and it's interesting to look through, and it's interesting to see what physicians, and it's not only physicians, it's psychologists, psychiatrists, what the interests are right now and what the focus is right now. And as you mentioned, you could have, and it's great to have all these walks and runs for breast cancer, you mentioned, or Alzheimer's disease or multiple sclerosis, whatever it is. And then all that money is raised over a period of time. A drug is available, but without people that are willing to try that drug, there's no way to know, and there's no way to get it approved. That's just how it works. And then on the other side of that coin, people say, I don't even know where I can go. Well, now there's somewhere for you can go to get information. SaveTheHumans.org, SAVEDAHOOMANS.org. Sarah Tella, Director of Communications for the Institute for Translational Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
I have been honored many times to speak at a veterinary conference in León, Mexico. It's a giant veterinary conference, and there are speakers from all over the world. Among those speakers, very commonly, was Dr. Moses Heibloom. Now, Dr. Heibloom is a veterinarian who had an interest in behavior and taught behavior to veterinary students. And we became friends over the course of a couple of years. And in fact, my wife, Robin, became shopping friends. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, with Moses's wife. And that is Rose Heibloom, who's on the phone now, actually. So Dr. Heibloom and I had all these grand plans to work together on a couple of different projects. And then one day I get a message from Rose saying that Dr. Heibloom suddenly passed away. And the good news, if there's good news to come of that, is that Moses, Dr. Heibloom, was working on a book, and that very book is out right now. Rose Heibloom, of course, your husband, a legend in veterinary medicine in Mexico. And it's a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much for having me here, Steve. Thank you.
Well,
for talking about the book.
Which is called Taking the Lead, Learning Through Love and Friendship with Dogs. Incidentally, it's in English, not Spanish. I think there is a Spanish version available if you prefer, but you can go get the English version on Amazon easily enough. What is the book about?
Well, the book is about the stories that Moses was writing. Moses had this project that he wanted to write a book about his stories with the dogs. But he was working on that when he sadly passed on. So I was going to take this project. So the book is in three parts. The first part focuses on Moses' personal recollections and stories. And because there is so much I want to share about the man behind the stories, I reach out to ask family, friends, and colleagues if they would like to talk about their time with him and their beloved dogs. So the second part is filled with anecdotes from family, friends, and colleagues about their time with Moses and their pets.
And some Go ahead.
Sorry.
And the third part?
Yeah, the third part holds acknowledgments to Moses from some of his colleagues.
And I will tell you, this man revered in Mexico truly for what difference he made in animal behavior, teaching so many other veterinarians and making a difference for so many people and their individual animals. Can you offer one of those stories, maybe?
Well, yes, there was a lot of stories because I've been fortunate to be with him since he began to study veterinary at the school. So there's this story that when he was studying veterinary, he went he has to do anatomy things. So we studied anatomy and we brought some dog and it was all around the house and his father was so mad. But then when he got 10 in anatomy, his father was very happy about it. And also another story, I don't know, there's so many stories about it. He's talking about all of our dogs. The dogs since he was a little kid until our last dog, that's Barça, our current little dog. So
yeah,
there are so many stories for 38 years of knowing him. So
Dr. Heibloom was a pioneer in animal behavior in Mexico. A veterinarian, absolutely. What was his interest in behavior? At what point did he say, you know what, I really want to focus on behavior?
Yes. First, he was just a veterinarian in surgery, and then he began a dog training program. He was the first dog trainer, certified dog trainer here in Mexico. But then he thought that he wanted to go back to medicine. So that's when he went to study behavior, and he went to UGA with Dr. Cheryl Kroll Davis, and he did their non-conforming residence. He went for almost 2.5 years, every 1 or 2 months, to take some seminars and some classes. So that's the way he got this. And he was the first one also in Mexico. And then he loved to teach. So that's when in the University of Mexico, they began teaching behavior.
Well, I know he was a fan of positive reinforcement dog training. When a time in Mexico, and it still is today, where not everyone is in America either. So I appreciate that. That is in the book as well. The book, again, is called Taking the Lead, Learning Through Love and Friendship with Dogs by Moses Hay-Bloom. Rose Hay-Bloom, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Steve.
We were talking about clinical trials earlier. Can you believe there's a clinical trial for cats and COVID-19? Why would there be such a thing? And why am I excited? And I am excited about this. Well, you know, cats don't typically get COVID-19. They can. And in fact, let me rephrase that. They do get it. They don't get sick. They don't show clinical signs. So if we can figure out how feline immune systems just knock this out so quickly, typically, not always. And when they do get sick, they don't get very sick, and they don't seem to be able to pass it on to people. We don't know if they can transmit it cat to cat, but we do know a distant, very distant relative of cats called mink. Now, these are mustelid. They're not in the feline family, so it's a very distant relative. They can get sick. They can probably transmit it to people, and they can transmit it to other mink for sure. Now, there are mink farms all over the United States, and the manufacturers of this vaccine think that if it works in cats, it may work in mink. If it were up to me, I'd close down the mink farm. We don't need mink coats anymore. They're mostly sold to other countries from the United States. I'd close them down all over the world and other parts of the world, even in the U.S. I am not so sure about how humane this all is. That issue aside, cats get, your cat potentially has gotten the feline coronavirus, very benign in cats. They don't get sick from the feline coronavirus. But sometimes inside a cat, it mutates into an immune-mediated disease that is very serious called FIP, or feline infectious peritonitis. If we can prevent the feline coronavirus, then we can prevent FIP. And that is why I'm excited potentially about this feline vaccine. Heroes come in all shapes and all sizes, and it turns out all species, and I'd like to see more of this. This happened in Lacey, Washington. A police dog named Arlo was tragically shot 3 times by a bad guy. I don't want to see more of that. That's bad. And Arlo the dog required multiple surgeries, and this was serious. I mean, Arlo might not have lived. Arlo will live and has to retire as a police dog, but here's what was really nice. Arlo walks out of the veterinary hospital and the dog's handler, and neither knew, of course, Arlo didn't know this was going to happen, but the handler didn't know it either. There's a red carpet, and on either side of the red carpet are police officers saluting Arlo. Someone rented a limo, and that's how Arlo goes to the handler's home. At that home, well, first, on the way home, every bridge they cross, there's a fire truck on top of the bridge with the lights on. And then they get home, and there are fire trucks and police cars there, all with their lights on, not sirens, because that might upset Arlo the dog, but the lights are flashing, and what's more, neighbors come out, hundreds of people there, to recognize this dog as a hero. The community really being a community. I love that story, and sometimes we don't hear enough good news in the world. There isn't much good about the pandemic, but here's some. More dogs and cats were adopted. Is that continuing to happen? Next week on the show, Tracy Elliott, the president of the Anti-Cruelty Society, will be here. The real reason why I want to talk to Tracy, two real reasons. First, I could say I interviewed the president, right? Never mind, president of Anti-Cruelty Society. He's still the president. And in addition to that, I want to involve the Anti-Cruelty Society. They're going to benefit by this ice cream war that I'm having with Paul Lisnick. So next week, I'm going to drag Tracy Elliott. And if you haven't heard about the ice cream war, you'll hear about that next week on the show. In addition to that, we are going to be talking about something that happens all too frequently to our dogs. It's called hemangiosarcoma. It's a kind of cancer. And, you know, the veterinarians won't say terminal because you can do surgery, but the surgery gives you 3 to 6 months. Now, some dogs live a year out, and many of these dogs are older anyway, So you wouldn't expect them necessarily to live much more than a year, but there is, let's face it, there is no solution for this yet. But experts are working on it. And I will next week speak to the man who is doing more research on this than anyone else on the planet, actually. And if you've ever had a dog with hemangiosarcoma, you know how heartbreaking that is. That's next week on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Talk to you bright and early.